Well, I'm going to do something that's fairly like I don't know what's wrong with me sometimes, but like I thought I would try to grab the Christmas themes, if you will, and kind of weave them into my communications section. So we'll see how that goes. And but I do want to tell you this, that one of the things that we just came from the open house at the Freedom Center, which is opening this week. We're taking our first group of men. We're very excited about that. And it of course, is going to be a great partnership between Crosswind, who's going to provide biblical counseling services to the Freedom Center, and also a lot of hands-on early on until we get the curriculum all working and all flowing smoothly. And so we're very glad about that, very excited about that. And many of you have already partnered with the Freedom Center, but we're glad that's coming. And of course, for the new year, and in relationship to this too, because did you hear Crosswind's going to be providing counseling services to the Freedom Center? Well, Crosswind is also going to be opening a biblical counseling center. And we've been doing biblical counseling for the whole time we've been here, but we're going to formalize that and we're going to launch that in a way more formal way. And of course, in order to do that administratively, well, we had to get some help here. And as you know, as I told you a couple weeks ago, we asked Brett to come back and he said yes. And so I had to fire myself and then hire Brett in my spot, then create a new job for me, which is Director of Biblical Counseling. And so that's all happening over the next year. And so and I said that to say this is that next week will be Brett's first week here and first week back. And so make sure you invite a bunch of people. We're going to ask him to come and cast vision and welcome him back and all that kind of stuff. And so make sure you invite your friends so that we can represent well for Brett. And I'm very excited about these times. These are times that we've been planning for years. When I text Rhonda and told her, she said it was always the vision that we had, that we would be able to more and more add segments that would serve more and more of the community in more and more different ways. And she used to call it like a one-stop shop or something like that. And so we're glad also that all of our ministry partners, whether it be Living Free, the Freedom Center, Gary at the Lighthouse, everybody's in this season of busyness, if you will. And we're hosting our big things, the Angel Tree next week, and we're going to be handing out food boxes, and we're going to be doing this and that, and all around Christmas season, we've collected money here to take and give to families that don't have presents, and we're going to be able to do that really good this year. And so we're glad about all that, and you're going to have your families in, and there's going to be all this, stuff, visiting and eating and carrying on and connecting with people. And so many times I'm nervous about this season because there's so much going on and so much gets lost, and the simplicity of slowing down a little bit and loving each other is hindered by us rushing to and fro and having to, do all the stuff that we have to do. And so I just want to say that to you. This weekend, was Thanksgiving, of course, and kind of got to do our for me, it was a real fun one because, my kids are all roughly 30, and so they all made the food, and Jack didn't have to do anything, and it was like, whoa, this is a whole new thing. And so we loved all that, all we had to do was be grandparents, and I was like digging that. And so, anyways, that was a lot of fun. But please, there's opportunity at this time of year to kind of bump into each other and say, I love you. And we miss that sometimes to look at each, we're busy. We run by each other, but we need to love each other. And that needs to be something that's, is felt. Remember the word cherish that I talked about as it relates to relationships. Cherish means in the Greek to warm someone's heart. Well, you've got to slow down long enough and look in their eyes, and you know, it takes a second to warm somebody's heart. You can't just run by and say hi. You know, my eyes light up when I see people, but it takes a few seconds to get the heart warm, if you will. And so we have to slow down and do that with each other and love each other and care for each other. I thought about the other day, my homeboy, Matt, was doing a real important surgery, and it was really hairy. For me, emotionally, I was worried about it and nervous, and it was a, and I really just couldn't wait to talk to him after it, you know. And I thought, you know, you got to slow down and tell people that you love them. You know, he was really caught up in my heart that day. So I recommend love to you. I recommend Christ's love. We don't have to, we've gotten it from him. We can freely give it to one another. Peter said, love one another deeply from the heart, right? So in the middle of all the clutter that goes around this season, I just wanted to say that little pastoral word to you. I'm very excited, man. These are very exciting times for me personally, and I believe for Crosswind also as a ministry. But I also know there's work ahead, and we can miss each other sometimes in the middle of it. I want to focus on since we're doing counseling, chunks, if you will, and they're benefiting counselees that come in the office, but I'm also doing it for a secondary purpose, and secondary purpose is to equip us, the saints, to do better at counseling. I remember this movement started maybe 55 or 60 years ago with this seminary professor named Jay Adams, who was a seminary professor at Westminster in Pennsylvania. And he was very convicted that the church had kind of outsourced counseling to the world. And he said, the church has always been the counselor, you know, the shepherd of the heart. I mean, that's exactly what the Lord called us to be to one another. And of course, the church needed some handles, if you will, to hold on to. Well, show us how then, you know, because we haven't learned that very well. And so he began the biblical counseling movement some 55 or 60 years ago, and now it's spreading, and the church is really taking back soul care and really learning how to do it well and really beginning to believe that God, through his word, by his spirit, is sufficient to care for the soul of the people around us. So we've been about equipping the saints to do that. And so this week I picked up on this phrase out of Isaiah 9. And here's the segue from last couple weeks. Last couple weeks, the case that I've been making is that when we're in communications, there is a humility that you have to bring to the communication that is necessary. It's important. And the humility is simply this, that my natural man, if you will, and I remember that the natural man's fallen, but the essential fallenness is that we have fallen away from the glory of God, meaning that we have turned toward ourselves, if you will, to solve our own problems. So the natural man, when it's afraid, turns to itself to solve the fear, right? And so remember, fear and control are twin sisters. So in the natural, I need to control the circumstances so that what I'm afraid that will happen to me won't happen, right? And so, I mean, that's an example of it. So the natural man, and so then you could say, well, what's wrong with that? Didn't God wire us that way? Well, he didn't wire us that way, actually. What happens is he wired the natural man that way. But before the fall, he wired us to look to him. We were in complete communion with him. And so when I was afraid, I trusted in him, right? And so that's what God has to rewire us to do. That's how we're transformed by the renewing of our mind. When God gives us himself, now as a minister to us, what he does is he takes our natural instincts, if you will, which is to self-protect and self-control and self all this kind of stuff, get my needs met my way, all the self versions, right? And the self instinct, if you will. And what God does is he redirects our hearts toward him and shows us that he meets all our needs according to his riches in glory through Christ Jesus. And so the case I was making last week was that we have a problem, and that's the noetic effect of sin. That is, we really don't know until the Holy Spirit shows up and shows us, we're not wise. The natural man's not wise. It can't perceive the things of God because it's cut off from God. So God must, from the outside in other words, what's going on in my heart, my natural man, is just instinct. It's just, and as a matter of fact, if you look at these words in the Greek where it says when the natural man can't receive the things of God, if you look at that natural man word in the Greek, it literally is kind of the animalistic instinctual man, if you want to call it that way. In other words, my instincts, right? So my instincts are to self-protect, and that's where a lot of even Christian and biblical counselors have been very interested, Bobby, one of them. In kind of brain science, right? Because we're beginning to understand. For me, I'm understanding the natural man, right? It doesn't change anything. The natural man still needs God. And the natural man won't respond properly without God. But it is interesting to me to see how we function in the natural and so that we can see how we need God. Well, and so that was what we talked about last week, is that the mind apart from God is essentially foolish, right? And if you ever want to read this and just kind of study it until it really sinks in, read the first four chapters of 1 Corinthians. The first four chapters of 1 Corinthians are that whole story about the wisdom of the world, the wisdom of this age, the debater of the world, that's the philosopher. What about the philosophies of this world? And the essential story is that God said, listen, I've chosen that wisdom. I was the one that made people, even natural wisdom, but I designed the whole thing to where that wisdom is not wisdom. That you're going to need some wisdom that's from above in order to do things properly. And so that was what we talked about last week. And so this week, that's kind of the bad news. The bad news is that I said last week, and we'll say again, we don't know anything. So when we come to an argument, when we come to a debate, when we come to a conversation that's difficult in our marriages or in our family life or in we're trying to sort something out, remember that your natural man's just going to be a reactor and a self-serving player, if you will. And so we need the wisdom that is from above. We need God to be able to live in peace with each other, to love each other properly and all the above. And so I selected this Isaiah 9 text which the Johnsons read. And so let's look at this verse to start with. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of deep darkness, on them a light has shone. So here's the deal. This is all God's talking about. He was talking about his chosen people and how they just were, you know, basically messed up constantly. You read Isaiah 1 to Isaiah 9, and it's just essentially everything you've done is blown it. And what's that a testimony to? That's a testimony to the natural man never knowing how to do anything right and getting it wrong all the time. But then he says this, but the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. And he says this about the light, that the light didn't come from within them. The light had to shine down on them. Does that make sense? And so remember, we're God people. We don't think that we have something, Well, of course, you know, the New Testament version is of this is now that light is within us, right? But we're getting there. But we're talking about the Old Testament where that we have to have an external revelation. Even in the New Testament, I have to have God bring it to me or I don't have it, right? I mean, there's nothing about me that can ever do something that's spiritual. God has to act first. God's the first actor in all of our ways. And so, and then he says, next in verse 6, he says, for to us a child is born, and to us a son is what? Okay, so the light was given from God, and now the son is given from God, right? Who is the light, right? Jesus said of himself, I am the light of the world, right? So he is the light of the world that has shone, that is going to shine into this darkness, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and so that shoulders this the governmental responsible. In other words, the kingdom of God, he's the king of it. So he's the king of his spiritual kingdom, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. And I wanted to hang out there, of course, because we're talking about counseling. And Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. But he's going to be called the Wonderful Counselor. In Isaiah 28, the Bible says, the Lord of hosts is wonderful in counsel and excellent in wisdom. And so there is one who is wise. There is one who is wonderful in counselor and excellent in wisdom. And it's not the people. It's the Lord. Right? So if the people are wise, they're doing what? They're sharing the wisdom of the Lord. Right? If I'm wise, my wisdom is not mine, but it's the Lord's wisdom. Right? That and so I'll just keep on going because I'll show you how this in kind of a doctrinal way is that, and then Jesus says in Luke 21, I'm going to give you a mouth and give you wisdom, which all your adversaries won't be able to resist. I'm going to give you a mouth, and remember, we're talking about communications, and give you wisdom. So I'm going to give you not only, equip you, but I'm going to give you what to say, if you will. And I'm going to give you the wisdom with which to say it, right? Because the Bible says that out of the heart the mouth speaks, right? So God has to equip my heart with something that will come out of my mouth when I need it, when the time is right. And then here's some snippets from this 1 Corinthians passage, which I told you to go back and read to understand this more fully. So to those who are called, and so that's all God's people, right? We're called the called ones. To those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the... Yeah, so Christ is the wisdom of God. Okay, and Christ is the power of God. And then he says this next. He says, for the foolishness of God is wiser than men. Okay, so that's the wisdom of God. And the weakness of God is stronger than men. So even God on his dumbest day is still smarter than you. And even God on his weakest day is still stronger than you. Right? And so what happens is, but the ministry of God to his people is to give us Christ the strong man and Christ the wisdom of God. So this is the whole, and everybody's talked about this a lot. Maybe 5 years ago, this actually became kind of popularized and became a thing. And so I hesitate to use it because I don't like fad stuff. But this was kind of the fad where the church finally woke up and realized that it wasn't Bobby who was David slaying the Goliath, which was all my problems, but it was Jesus who was David. He's the strong man who slays Goliath. And I was the scaredy guy in the caves, you know, with my knees knocking because Goliath was sitting out there with his sword and he was bigger than me. But I was afraid. I'm one of God's people that's been in the caves with the Israelites. And Jesus shows up because David is the personification of Jesus. And Jesus, in his weakness, with a stone, slayed the strong man, right? So God isn't going to make you David. That's not how this works. Jesus is David. And Jesus in his weakness is stronger than the world's strongest man, 6 fingers on each thing, 9'6", 6 fingers on each hand, 6 toes on each foot. Mucho fuerte. Big old boy. And he was nothing. The strongest man made a mockery of the thing, and God just sent this weak shepherd boy out there with a rock and just put him away. No problem. Right? Because the weakness of God is stronger than the strongest of men. Well, now take that metaphor and go to wisdom. It's the same. Jesus is the wisdom of God. Jesus is our wisdom, and he's our strength. He's the strong man, and he's the wise man. Right? And so I need Jesus helping me. Okay. Oh, my goodness. It's already... Okay. And so listen to what he says. This is our 1 Corinthians 1:31, which may be one of my favorite verses in the whole Bible. And this is a whole series, but listen to this. And because of God, you are in Christ Jesus. God put his people in Christ Jesus. The Bible says in Ephesians 1:4 that he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. God chose a people for himself and gave them to Jesus, and they were identified with Jesus or in Jesus. And so because of him, you are in Christ Jesus. And Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God. So Jesus is the wisdom from God to us. Jesus is our wisdom. So Jesus is our wisdom, righteousness and sanctification and redemption. He's all of that for us. So that it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. And the first part of this passage is, it says, the wisdom of the world is nothing. It's foolishness compared to God. And so what is it? So any wisdom that we have comes from the Lord Jesus, who is our wisdom. And then what happens is that we come out with that. James 3 says, who is wise and understanding among you? He characterizes this wisdom. We've talked about this verse before. I'm not going to spend any time on it. Just read it. But who is wise and understanding among you? Let him by his good conduct, let him show works in the meekness of wisdom. And so this is all about how to have a good conversation. The wisdom from above, that is Jesus's wisdom, that is the person of Jesus, is this: first pure, then peaceable, then gentle, then willing to yield, then full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. That's what the wisdom of Jesus. And so if you have something other than that, when you're coming to the table in your conversation, then you know that you're not having the wisdom of God. The thoughts that are in your mind, if you're like arm wrestling and trying to be first, and, you know, Jesus's only characteristic of himself was that he was gentle and lowly of heart. So if you come to the table and you're not gentle and not lowly of heart, you already know that you are operating out of the natural man, not of the spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and what? Peace and what? Patience and what? Kindness and what? Gentleness and what? Faithfulness and self-control. If you come and you don't have self-control and there's no gentleness and there's no kindness, I promise you, you're operating out of the flesh and not the Spirit. And you won't have the wisdom that's from above. That is the very wisdom that God has given to you in Christ Jesus. And so he says this. Just go down to the very, I'm going to skip that, but go to the very last verse there of this whole next section. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. They're folly to him. He's not able to understand them because they're spiritually discerned. What does that last phrase, though? Let's say it out together. But we have the mind of Christ. Yes, exactly. And so here's the Holy Spirit. He comes and gives us the mind of Christ. And the mind of Christ is full of peace, willing to yield, humble, you know, tender, kind, works through stuff, you know, and all this kind of stuff. And so what happens is, and the Spirit what? Desires, puts that in you, and it desires against the flesh. What's the flesh? It's the natural man. I need to be right. You just hurt me feeling. I mean, like the ego bruises, if you will. Goodness gracious, I could spend weeks on ego bruises about how somebody hurt. Well, you hurt my feelings. Yeah, okay, whatever. But my point is, it's not like we don't hurt each other's feelings. How many of you hurt each other's feelings? Exactly, Jennifer, we know you do. John told me before the thing. And so anyways, and here's the thing. But we do, right? We hurt each other's feelings. Sometimes on purpose, sometimes not on purpose. It doesn't matter. If I walk around with my ego bruised all the time, guess what I'm telling you? Guess what that it's a testimony of? That my ego's elevated too much. My ego's too big. Because if my ego wasn't too big, it wouldn't be bruised so easy. Well, that's a whole nother thing of jigger. Okay, Lord, listen, here was what I wanted to say tonight, that Jesus is the wisdom of God. He's the wonderful counselor, and he's the gift to you that shines, that shines forth in your heart, that can bring you into extraordinary, loving, wonderful conversation with one another. God honoring, even difficult conversations. I'm not afraid of difficult conversations. I'm not afraid of difficult conversations. And why? It's not because I'm right or wrong. Band, come on up. I'm late. And it's not because I'm right or wrong. It's because I'm deferring ultimately to something that's higher than me and greater than me. And we can find, especially believers, we can find unity there. Maybe not down here in the details, but when we start heading up to where Christ is, we can find unity. And so still continuing on conversation, still laying, well, before I get to practical tools, I want to lay all this theology that it's so important. You'll never get this right if you let your ego or your bruised ego lead in a conversation. Forget about it. You might as well just save it. You know, because you're just going to get nowhere. You're going to get nowhere. So, and that's the one, that's the other type of wisdom. That's a wisdom that's from below. It's called selfish ambition and just bruisedness all the time, always hurting, you know. And so, all right, I need to say a lot about that. Don't have any time to do it. Lord, I love you. You are the bright and morning star. You are the one who shines into our heart. You shine into us the wisdom of God. You are the wonderful counselor. You showed up, and because we were walking around in darkness, you showed up and suddenly the light was here, and you were the light of the world, and the light shone in the darkness, and the darkness couldn't comprehend it, and there you were, Lord. You showed up, and now you live in our hearts by faith, and now we have the mind of Christ, and it burdens us and presses us against the foolishness of our flesh, Lord, and we pray that we would yield to it. We pray that we would learn how to hear it and follow it, and so that we would indeed be following you. And I pray that for all of our sakes, especially mine, in Christ's name, amen.